Daniel on the Saints and the Last Battle. This is part four and the conclusion. And I know I have raised and will raise many questions which will not be answered during this series, like what are the dates, when will the end be, and what did Jesus really mean in Matthew 24 by the abomination of desolation, and so on. But this study is primarily to answer from this prophet mentioned by Christ in Matthew 24 as to what the saints would be doing as this age draws to a close and the kingdom age begins. The reason I want to answer that from Daniel is because Daniel is one of the prophets often used by the people who preach the rapture. Some of you have seen that. They'll quote quite a bit out of Daniel about the 10 kings and the little horn and the beast and so on. But usually they add somewhere in their teaching that these beast systems or this little horn or whatever it is they're talking about will not arise until after the Christians are all gone from the earth. And then they say, well, all we're waiting for in God's timetable now is for the saints to be raptured from the earth off to heaven. So far, as you know, we have seen that the saints apparently are going to be part of the vital force that will destroy the beast kingdoms. They'll be here in the kingdom. I have a newspaper article here. This is all one article, believe it or not, from the Los Angeles Times. Page after page, continued on another page, it says, "Millions listening to doom prophets' predictions of apocalypse" is the title. And what they have done is they have quoted a number of various ministers around the country, and they tell what they preach. And generally speaking, what they have outlined in that newspaper article is what we would call the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, the reason I wanted to show you that is to point out to you that as far as the news media is concerned, they never but never give any newspaper space to our doctrine. You will not find any major newspaper in the United States that has ever written about a kingdom identity minister telling what we teach. But they do give publicity to the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture, and that's an example of one of them. That doctrine, of course, is promulgated by scores of radio preachers, some of them on 100 and 200, 300, some of them on as many as 500 stations every day. And it has about four parts to it. Number one, the Jews are Israel. And number two, the Jews are going back to Palestine, which is a sign of the end of the age. And the next event is when the Christians will be raptured to heaven. And then number four, there will be a seven-year tribulation under what they call an Antichrist. And this is preached to the extent that America is literally saturated with it. Even people who do not go to church hear this doctrine, and if they don't hear it on the radio, then every once in a while some newspaper or magazine will write an article about it, like the Los Angeles Times, and tell them that, well, this is what the church is preaching, that the Christians are all going to be gone from the earth pretty soon before times get really rough. And yet we see from Daniel's visions that these beast systems, or these antichrist systems, and that is the correct name for them, will be ruling on the earth from Daniel's day, right down to the end of the age. As we saw in Daniel 2, this vision of these beast systems began with Nebuchadnezzar, thou art that head of gold. So 2,500 years have already passed, and the beast systems began then, and they still rule. And yet the ministers teach, by and large, that the Antichrist rule will be only for a short period of 7 years. No, they have already ruled for 2,500 years. But then quite a few of the things that are taught by the denominations are not true. All right, let's turn to Daniel 7, where we were last time. We read through verse 22, and we'll read that and the rest of the verses and in this conclusion. But I'll mention what we arrived at last week before we read on. First of all, this vision in Daniel 7, like Daniel 2, is a succession of empires, here shown as beasts. And as we read the description, we find that each system is not really destroyed, but is actually absorbed by the succeeding system, so that they all exist and continue to exist in the second, the third, and the fourth entity, right down to the end of the age. The final destruction of all of them then comes at the end of the age, just before the kingdom, and that destruction is at the hands of the saints. That destruction is at the hands of the saints. And I cannot express that too much, because the doctrine of the secret rapture, of course, removes the saints and gives them no part of this destruction of the beast system. Both Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 record an entity which is instrumental in the destruction of that beast system empires. Daniel 2, of course, it is the stone cut out without hands. In Daniel 7, it is called the Ancient of Days. And both of these, I believe, are fulfilled and being fulfilled in the United States of America, the Fifth Kingdom. The Fifth Kingdom is already here. So let's read on in Daniel 7, starting in verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. As I pointed out before, many prophecy preachers insist that horn is the future Antichrist. But then they will not read verse 21, where it says this horn prevails against the saints. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, I said I believe that little horn was Papal Rome, which was what was taught by the reformers of the Protestant Reformation in Europe. And then, of course, the question comes up, if that little horn or the papal power had been broken or was broken with the conquest of Europe by Napoleon by 1799, then what is this great Antichrist system which obviously still rules the world? Well, we'll get into that in just a few moments. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So this is a repetition or an enlargement of the previous verses, showing at least part of the fulfillment of that fourth kingdom, that the saints would come under the rule of that kingdom for some specific length of time, here called time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And then comes the description of what we would call the rule of Jesus in the kingdom. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And you can imagine Daniel, in that day, seeing what he realized was a vision of all the world right to the end of the age, and good godly Daniel must have seen that this meant that evil Antichrist systems would rule for a long, long period of time. No wonder he was concerned. Now let's go back and go over this a little more, because I think it deserves some more explanation, especially if we accept the little horn as Papal Rome, and that its power was ended by 1800 A.D. when Napoleon destroyed all the monarchical thrones of Europe and actually took the Pope into custody. Who or what is the world power which then continues right on to this end of the age? Verse 23 says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Well, I think this kingdom is more than what we would call Rome. The other kingdoms, as we know, ruled over a portion of the earth. The Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and the Greece, and the early Roman Empire never controlled more than the continent of Europe, a small portion of Africa, and a small portion of Asia. But here he says his fourth kingdom would actually control all of the earth, devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. That, of course, would be what we see as the world controlling system today, ruling all governments of the world. In Revelation 17 and 18, it is called Babylon, which takes us back where? To the first kingdom in Daniel 2. Mystery Babylon controls through money and through banking and through debt all of the nations of the world. So it has to be more than just an ecclesiastical system such as the Roman Church was. It has to be military and political, and it also has to be religious. Now, to a great extent, the Roman system or the Roman Catholic system was religious. That power was broken, and I believe it still remains broken today. In verse 11, we read this, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, because we are human, whenever we read these things in Daniel about the destruction of the beast, we assume this is something that takes place at one short period of time, perhaps even instantaneous. It says, the beast is destroyed, so we assume, well, one day that takes place. But verse 12 says, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now in verse 11 it says, this beast was destroyed, and his body was given to the burning flame. Now really, what did destroy Roman Catholicism's power over Europe but the Word of God? And the Bible tells us, God says in one place, my word is like fire, saith the Lord. And in Hebrews 1, he says, his ministers are a flame of fire. And it is true that prior to Napoleon's military conquest of all of Europe, and actually taking the Pope captive and removing him from the throne in Rome, Europe was prepared to turn away from Roman Catholicism by the opening up of the Word of God. And in verse 10, or the last half of verse 10, we read, the judgment was set and the books were opened. Well, if there ever was any great opening of books, it was the printing of tens of thousands of copies of the Bible, starting in the late 1400s and all through the 1500s and 1600s, and then God, through these men raised up in what we call the Protestant Reformation, preaching the Word of God, the books were opened. Prior to that, individuals could not have the Bible. Most of you who know something about the history of the Roman Catholic Church know that for over 500 years, even up to and including part of the Reformation in Europe, that it was a capital offense to have any portion of the Scriptures in your possession. Some of you may not know that, but if you'll read the history of the Roman Catholic Church, you know that they put people to death if they were ever found with any portion of the Bible in their possession. It was reserved completely for the priest of the church. Any layperson found with it was actually executed. So the books were opened. And the books being opened, all of these tens of thousands of Bibles destroyed this first beast. But the rest of the beast still were given a season and a time. So even though we might say that the Roman Catholic power, or the feet of clay and iron, the power was broken over Israel, the rest of the beast system still exists. And someone says, but Pastor Emery, the beast system in Daniel 2 was destroyed with one blow. Well, not necessarily. Let's go back and read that again. Daniel 2, verse 34 and 35. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out with our hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Again, we read these things, and because we are men, and we think in terms of time, rather than God thinking in terms of infinity, we place a time element on there, and we say, oh, they were all destroyed together. But that's not necessarily true. It is true that the stone striking the feet would destroy what? The feet first. But the rest of the image could literally fall apart in centuries, and yet it would not do violence to this actual vision that Daniel saw. Even in the explanation of it, verse 44 and 45, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what will come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. No time element given. Now I would have to think of this. He said here, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. But if we actually consider the United States of America as that kingdom which was set up, when was it set up? I say it began with the Reformation in Europe, the founding of this continent by Columbus in 1492, and the establishment of this kingdom was not completed until at least 1776. And I say further, and you look at the back of your radio logs we passed out earlier, you will see the growth of the United States of America, this fifth kingdom. And if you'll notice, on the very east coast, there are 13 colonies. We know that they became a nation between 1776 and 1783. But they were first colonized beginning in 1609. And then if you look all the way across this great land to the far ocean of the Pacific, you will find that the last part of America was annexed in 1846, 1848, and 1853. In other words, the establishment of the Fifth Kingdom actually took from 1492 to 1853. So if it took several hundred years for the establishment of the kingdom, why are we wrong if we say it may take several hundred years for the destruction of the previous kingdom? I think we are seeing this stone striking the image on the feet and this Ancient of Days destroying these beast systems, but I believe it is taking centuries. It is taking centuries. It is already going on, but it will not be accomplished, and we won't see it until, of course, it is final. Now turn back to Daniel 7. If we accept this idea that the Roman Catholic power was broken first, and then the rest of these things are broken later, of course, then we must assume that the head of gold would be the last thing destroyed. In other words, the international banking money power of gold and debt would be the last thing that would disappear, which fits Revelation 17 and 18, naming the last beast power, Babylon. Now, Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says, the borrower is servant to the lender. And just recently, there was a very small article in the local paper that the Russians had so many payments to make to the various banks, including the Rothschild and Rockefeller banks of Europe and America, that it was possible they would be short of, quote, their medium of exchange by 1977. In other words, international communism, which we think of as being the total power, is so indebted to the bankers, they won't be able to make their payments by next year. So who is the controller? The borrower is servant to the lender. That would mean that international communism in Russia and the other nations would be servant to who? To the international Jewish banks operating out of Zurich, Switzerland, and Paris, and London, and New York City. So the bankers would actually be the controllers. Now, I believe that Daniel 7:22 gives us three stages in the breaking of this whole beast system. It reads, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, I believe the Ancient of Days has already come. Israel has been reestablished in their kingdom here on this North American continent called the United States of America. And as we have seen, that took several hundred years. Now, the next thing that is to happen is judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. If you'll turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 6, I want to point out something in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6, we'll start reading in verse 1. Paul is speaking, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? The saints shall judge the world, and that word there is cosmos, meaning the world system. Let me read out of Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary some of the meanings of the word judge. Now Paul says, reminds the Christians, know ye not saints will judge the world. Now this is, actually takes two columns in the Noah Webster's because of course it's also a noun as well as a verb. But here are the meanings, or part of the meanings, of the verbal meanings to judge. Number one, to hear and determine a case, to examine and decide. Two, to try, to examine and pass sentence on. Three, rightly to understand and discern. Four, to censure rashly, to pass severe sentence. Five, to esteem, to think, to reckon. Six, to rule or govern. Seven, to doom to punishment, or to punish. In other words, examine, try, understand, censure, reckon, rule, and punish. Paul is reminding the saints, know ye not that the saints shall examine and pass sentence on the world system. That is the work of the saints as this age draws to a close. Now some of you people think, well, I didn't know I was going to have anything to do with that. I thought I was going to just sit here while all of these things fell apart. Paul says, you will judge the world or the world system, the cosmos. The saints shall do that. Turn to Daniel 7 again. Verse 26 says this, but the judgment shall sit, and they, the saints, they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Who will judge and actually pass sentence upon and bring about the destruction of the world system? The saints of the Most High God. Brother, sister, you can see how the teaching of the secret rapture of the saints destroys the Bible teaching as to what your responsibility and what your glory is going to be in this end of the age. You are going to be responsible for bringing this entire Antichrist world system to an end. You will judge it, pass punishment on it, and destroy it. In Romans chapter 4, Paul is writing about the promises given to Abraham, starting in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. What promise? The promise that Abraham's seed would be heir of all the world. No wonder God has given us authority and the promise that we will judge and bring to an end the present Antichrist world system, because we are the heirs of this planet Earth. Yes, I know you have to take into consideration Jesus Christ and the Spirit, but God works His work through His people. He's not going to evacuate His people from the Earth. and then let the Antichrist take over. No, the Antichrist will be destroyed by God's saints. Turn to Isaiah 2. This is a very familiar passage to most kingdom identity people. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. It is quite easy to see that that is speaking of the establishment of the nation of Israel, or the restoration of the kingdom, we believe, the United States of America. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now again, usually that is read, and they say that this person in verse 4 who will judge among nations is Jesus Christ. But he's talking about who? O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. He's talking about the house of Jacob. In other words, the house of Jacob shall judge among the nations, and the house of Jacob shall rule many people. Now, Jacob is not going to do that until Christ rules over them, but still we have the same thing we see in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. It is Israel, the saints of the Most High God, who will judge the nations. In verse 3 there it says, Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In Daniel 7, remember, we saw that from the Ancient of Days went a fiery stream. That's the word of the Lord coming from Jacob, Israel's nation. Let's turn to Micah chapter 4. Again, quite familiar to most identity people because it is the same as the first part of Isaiah 2. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, or chief among the nations, same as Daniel 2. But he goes on in this one, in verse 10, speaking to this chief of the nations, Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. That is one of the strangest passages in this book, which is almost never covered by the pre-tribulation rapture people. Because here we have the Zion of God, which most of them recognize must be the kingdom, and here it goes to Babylon. It's in trouble, it's in pain, and it goes to Babylon. Very simply, that is exactly what is taught in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 17 and 18. That mystery Babylon, the head of gold, the whole beast empire systems, rules over all of the earth, including the Zion of Bible prophecy. Now, if America is the Zion of Bible prophecy, and I believe it is, I believe all of you will admit that we are under the rulership of mystery Babylon the Great in this age. We are in debt to the international bankers more than the assessed value of all land improvements in the United States of America. Our grandchildren will be working for the international bankers to pay the interest on their loans perhaps half of every year. That is slavery, as certain as a person were to take iron chains and bind them upon them. No, all of the world, including Zion, will be under Babylon. But then he says, There shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. In other words, Israel has to be reestablished in the Zion nation and come under the control of Babylon and then be delivered in the end of the age. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. And they certainly are spying and committing subversion against America. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, who is going to do the threshing? Israel, Zion, Jacob, the stone kingdom, the Ancient of Days. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. What do we have? We have the same thing taught here in Micah that we have throughout the Scripture, that God's Israel people, gathered in Zion, will be the instrument in God's hand to judge and destroy the world beast system. Now, I have to tell this, perhaps because I know it better than most of the people in the Israel Identity Movement, because we're on radio all over the country, and I've traveled around to some extent, and we hear via mail and phone calls and so on from all over the nation. But literally, tens of thousands of people are turning to the Bible and learning God's ways, I believe, in preparation for what? For being given power to judge the present world system. Many of you know that there are anti-communist and anti-Federal Reserve System and anti-IRS people all over the country. For the last 20 years, they've been fighting a battle against this money power and all of this. What we know from the Bible is these Babylonian system of empires. But by and large, they have not understood or known how to destroy it or what to replace it with. And I've asked people that. Well, all right, you're going to destroy the Federal Reserve System. What are you going to establish in its place? They don't know. They haven't known until they begin to turn to the Bible. But in this Daniel 7, in verse 22, it says, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I believe God's Israel people finally are beginning to turn to the Bible to learn God's law and God's ways, God's economics, God's military order, God's order for government, God's order for family, so that they can judge the world system and find it wanting and destroy it. Now, until we reach a point where God can use us in the judging, of course, the beast system will continue. Now, there is something that has come along just recently, which I believe will be a fantastic weapon in the hands of God's Israel people. This is the front page of a new publication we have just put out, or a new sheet. We'll have these available for distribution in about a week, God willing. You'll notice it says in the headline, after 50 years of suspicion, it is finally revealed Jews are not Israelites. And what we have done, or are doing, is reproducing the newspaper reviews of this new book called The 13th Tribe, where this man has put a 255-page research book together to prove that at least 90% of the people in America and in Europe who call themselves Jews are not Israelites. They have no ancestry in Israel, and this book has been reviewed in many major newspapers. For the first time in the history of America, and let me repeat that, for the first time in the history of our nation, widely distributed daily newspapers have come out with information that tells us the Jews are Khazars, Huns, Mongols, and Magyars from Asia and Russia, and that they have no ancestry in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's right in the newspaper article. And I'm convinced within a matter of months, perhaps years, remember I said it took God 300 years to establish his kingdom in America. Maybe it'll take a few years. But I believe within a comparatively short period of time, we will no longer have to tell people the Jews aren't Israel, but we are. They will know it. And then comes the second phase, Israel turning to the Word of God to find out what we are to do as this age draws to a close. Another thing this news that the Jews are not Israel will do is destroy any foundation for this doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the saints. Because you know, if the people going back to Palestine are not Israel, then one of the signs that the Antichrist is to come and the rapture is near will be taken right away from all of these people. They will not have a leg to stand on to preach their devilish doctrine that the saints are going to leave the earth. And we can turn and get busy with the work that God has given us, and that is to teach God's word, God's laws, statutes, and judgment to an Israel that knows they are Israel. You see, Pastor Emery and Pastor Record and Pastor Ewing and Bell and all of these men that preach what we call the kingdom identity message, we spend most of our time today trying to tell Israel they're Israel. Once that burden is taken from us, then we can tell Israel what they're supposed to do. And you just think in terms of kingdom ministers preaching all over this nation God's laws, statutes and judgment, the identity of the Antichrist, Mystery Babylon, your work, that the saints have a responsibility to destroy the filth, corruption, and chaos known in the Bible as Mystery Babylon the Great. Today they think they can put up with it because they're not going to have anything to do with its destruction. Soon they'll realize they're going to have to be participants in the destruction of the Antichrist world system. Turn with me to Matthew 13. This is the parable of the tares and the wheat. Christ explains it here. Part of it is starting in verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, the stone kingdom, the Ancient of Days, America, if you please. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them, people, them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Someone once remarked, we should be preaching the rapture of the wicked instead of the rapture of the saints. What is going to happen? The wicked are going to be removed from off this earth, out of this kingdom. Then the saints shall be given the kingdom, a cleansed, renovated kingdom to rule and reign with Christ. Now I know that at this point, many of us can be very discouraged because we look at what the beast system is doing and what they seem to be planning. It seems as if everything they are doing works out very successfully for them. Now, one thing we are seeing is the beginning of the destruction of the nations of Rhodesia and South Africa. And we say, oh, look at the power the Antichrist has. Mr. Kissinger can get on a plane, go to Africa, and begin the fall or the downfall of a great white nation. Well, Gandhi said every man is going to flee unto his own country and his own people. So this is actually a thing which must be done to bring this age to a close. The Antichrist themselves, as we read in Micah, know not the thoughts of the Lord. The very things they are doing are going to bring about their own destruction. And our job is to learn God's word, so when God calls upon us and gives us authority to judge the world cosmos and destroy it, we will know what we are supposed to do. So don't worry about anything happening to this kingdom. In verse 44 of Daniel 2 it says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It will be for Israel. It shall break in pieces and control the kingdom, and it shall stand forever. I believe in the opening of this book of Daniel and these other things that are happening in America, that we are seeing God preparing to turn the whole people of Israel to his word for the work which is to do. So don't be discouraged. Don't worry about your Christian friends who think they're going to be raptured from off the earth. One of the first things you should do is get hundreds and hundreds of these articles that we'll have available and say, all right, you believe that certain things in prophecy are going to come to pass because the Jews are Israelites. Well, here is proof they are not. Therefore, what is going to happen in prophecy must be something different than your minister is teaching. And then God will open our people to the gospel of the kingdom as it's taught from the Bible. The saints shall judge the world. We have great and glorious days ahead of us, in spite of the troublesome times that we see right now. The kingdom shall stand forever. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this great and wonderful word that this age is drawing to a close. Father, we thank you that we can see that these times of tribulation upon the earth are about over. A new day is dawning. We pray now that you'll give each of us of thy spirit and thy wisdom and thy word, even of compassion and mercy, that we may do things aright as thy servants, as thy people here on the earth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.